of the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I've got so much to do tonight. Don't call in. Well, you could call in only if you have the number memorized, because I have too much to do. Beginning next week, Lord willing, it looks like Bob Enyart Live will be airing in Indianapolis on WNTS AM radio. WNTS, which that station has a very strong signal during the day, but at night when we're live, right now, this time of the year, it's 8 p.m. Indiana time, that they go to low power, and so we will only be heard within the beltway that surrounds the city of Indianapolis, maybe by a population potential of about 500,000 people. So if you know friends of the show or you've got friends in Indianapolis, stand by to let them know that they can tune in to Bob Enyart Live on the radio in Indy. And that's just in time for our seminar. August 24th, we'll be able to promote that on the station on WNTS, the Does God Exist seminar at Grace Church in Indianapolis. Okay, we want to get to a few things tonight. You know, in Britain and throughout Europe, they're beginning a boycott of Israel because they say Israel is mistreating the Palestinians. They say that the Jews are mistreating the terrorists. And so they've begun a boycott of Israel. And as a result of the boycott, two British publications have fired two different Jewish writers. Now, does that sound like a boycott? Or does that sound like a thinly veiled excuse for racism and anti-Semitism? That's what it sounds like to me. You know, even when the liberals were boycotting South Africa, which was a mindless thing to do, even when that was happening, nobody was going around firing black people. But what a thinly veiled example of racism. And then the Chicago Sun-Times points out that an associate of mine who's been sued by the NOW, the National Organization of Witches, Joe Scheidler, he's an anti-abortion activist, and he's being sued because of his work trying to shut down abortion mills. And guess who has filed a friend of the court brief on his side? A bunch of liberals. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Martin Sheen, of all people. Martin Luther King's group, Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Anti-war activists. A bunch of liberals, because they say if the NOW wins this case against Joe Scheidler, then any protest organization is in trouble and could be sued terribly. Oh, and Gary Condit's wife has a ruling in court that she can sue the National Enquirer? Yeah, right? For $10 million because they had a headline saying that she attacked Chandra Levy. And she said, I've never met the woman, never spoke to the woman. Apparently, there was no evidence. And the National Enquirer said that the police said that Condit's wife had attacked her the night before she disappeared, or something like that. And apparently it's just simply not true. But before any of that, oh yeah, and we got a letter from somebody in Denver who's discouraged because the church he goes to, which he really loves, he says he came to visit Denver Bible Church recently, and his own church he's frustrated with because the two pastors of the church send their kids to public school. And what a bad example that is. And so he's now in a bit of a turmoil because he loves his church, he loves the people in the church and the pastors, but he's so utterly discouraged that the senior pastor has his daughters in the public school. So I'd like to get to that letter, actually. The senior pastor's justification was that he's involved in the school. Now, what does that mean? He goes there two or three times a year? I don't know what that means. But he probably won't be involved, no doubt, at the time of his daughter's first teenage sexual experience. He won't be around then. or their first abortion. He won't be around then. All right, but before any of that, this is big. This is an article from the New York Times, and it's about nutrition. And I just got to do this article because when you talk about food, you hit people close to home. People get upset when you talk about food. And this article is very possibly, it's going to upset some of the people in the audience. But I want to ask you to think rationally and clearly as you hear this and not just emotionally. This is, I printed this out from the page one, front page of the New York Times, July 7th. And I've been thinking through whether I should do this on the air. And it's mostly about the Atkins diet. You know, Robert Atkins, who gave the anti-diet when the whole world was saying eat low fat is healthy. Atkins said, forget low fat is a mistake because when you're on a low-fat diet, you eat a lot of carbohydrates. Carbohydrates break down in your body like, say, potatoes, rice, anything from white flour, and it's instantaneously sugar. As soon as you eat it, it's sugar. So anyway, Atkins said all that sugar in your body, all those carbs, is what's going to lead to obesity and overweight and heart disease, because he's a cardiologist, and diabetes and serious problems. So he's been lambasted by the American medical establishment for 30 years. And now, this front page New York Times article is dramatic because they pulled together a massive amount of research. For example, the Harvard School of Public Health has the chairman of their Department of Nutrition there, Walter Willett, is the spokesman for a nutrition and diet study. Now, how many nutrition and diet studies have there been? Thousands? And how many of them contradict one another? Well, all of them, for the most part. You know, you could get studies to prove anything you want. But this is the longest running and the most comprehensive diet and health study ever performed. It's cost, how much would a health study cost? What do you think? I'll ask somebody in the studio audience. What do you think a big study might cost? $1 million? $10 million? $50 million? $80 million? $90 million? Over $100 million on this study, and they have data on nearly 300,000 individuals. And according to Harvard's chairman of the Department of Nutrition, wait a second, where'd I go? All right. All right, we're in the break. Hey, I'm going to conclude that story when we get back onto the show. But this is a live commercial break here, Bob and Yart live. And sorry for the abrupt break into the commercial. But we'll get back to Harvard and the conclusion of the study as soon as we get back into the show. But right now I want to give you our order line and tell you about the plot. Our order line is 1-888-836-9278. And the plot is a manuscript I wrote some years ago. We have sold thousands of copies of the plot. It's 300 and some pages. It's an overview of the whole Bible. So many people. We had a couple folks in our studio audience last night. One woman from Maryland, north of D.C. And she said that it seems to her that the number one thing that people say, Christians and non-Christians, is that the Bible seems to contradict itself. She said so many non-Christians, they say that constantly. Well, the Bible's filled with contradictions. And she said the Christians who read it, she said most Christians don't read it because it's confusing to them. And it even seems to Christians to have contradictions. So what do you do? She said when she read the plot, it was so thrilling to her to get a clear overview of the message of the whole Bible. And once you understand the overview, then the details all make sense. It's exciting. The big picture is the key to the Bible's details. So call us and order the plot, 1-888-836-9278. Hey, I also want to tell you about our article pack. We've got articles on, well, terrorism. These are pamphlets. Terrorism, one titled Nicer Than God, another Judge Rightly. Actually, the full title of that pamphlet is Judge Rightly is Not Some Guy's Name. The Death Penalty, another Miracles, a pamphlet on miracles, and Overpopulation. Now, you can get an article pack and get a couple of each of those, order them for $5, or you can get 200 copies of any one you'd like, or a mixture for $25. So give us a call and spread the word. We're back, Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YURT. So it turns out this Harvard study, well, it's not only Harvard, but a Harvard professor, the chairman of their nutrition department, is the spokesman for this longest-running diet and health study ever. It cost over $100 million, data on nearly 300,000 individuals. And the spokesman for these studies sums it up with this, that the data from these studies clearly contradict the low-fat is good health message. That the low-fat is good health theory has failed the test of time. It came into being in the mid-70s. And it wasn't science that declared low fat is good health. It was a liberal politician named George McGovern. Now, a lot of us remember McGovern and just that he's a liberal. And he was dangerous. Senator George McGovern. And he had a Senate committee that he headed up. And he ended up publishing the Dietary Goals for the United States. And it was Senator George McGovern that advised the American people, that we curb our fat intake. And we did that. We've reduced the amount of fat in our diet dramatically. And in reducing the amount of fat in our diet, we've had an obesity epidemic that has skyrocketed, to where today 1 out of 4 Americans are significantly overweight, enough so that it affects their health. And that skyrocketing took place during the 80s. And this is during a time where we dramatically reduced our fat intake. But not only that, diabetes has become epidemic. Remember they used to call it adult onset diabetes? Now, kids are getting diabetes. They can't call it adult onset diabetes any longer. And kids are being diagnosed as obese. What is it, tripled? The number of children that are being diagnosed as obese. Heart disease is supposed to go down in America when we cut our fat intake. And we've done that in a huge way. And there's been no decrease in heart disease, but a steady increase in the obesity rate, even though the amount of exercise that Americans engaged in is relatively constant. Let's go to Huntsville, Alabama. Cindy, speak your mind.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that I've been on the Atkins diet for 4 years now.
You have?
Mm-hmm, and I've never had any health trouble or anything. I've had 5 children, and I'm in physically good shape. Mm-hmm.
Wow, 5 kids. Congratulations,
uh-huh.
Cindy.
Thank you.
Well, Cindy, tomorrow I have a doctor's appointment, mm-hmm, for a follow-up blood test. I did a blood test about 4 or 5 months ago when I started on the Atkins diet.
Uh-huh.
And I was seriously overweight.
Yeah.
about 50 pounds overweight, and I'm short, 5'10".
Oh, that's not short.
Well, it's short enough, 50 pounds over, you know, you want to hold in your gut, but you can't anymore.
Right.
It's too, you know, I gave up trying to hold in my gut. And so since February, I've lost now 34 pounds.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Feel fabulous.
That's great.
I did an EKG treadmill test a couple of weeks ago at Lutheran Hospital here in Denver, and it passed with flying colors. And now what I'm hoping to find out is my follow-up blood test will show that I've improved in my cholesterol.
I have no doubt.
No doubt?
No doubt.
But Cindy, this is what George McGovern told America, that if you eat a lot of fat, as I have been doing for 5 months now, if you eat a lot of fat, your bad cholesterol will go up, your triglycerides will go up, and you'll get a heart attack and die.
Right.
And
now,
so you're saying you think my blood work is going to show that I've improved.
I have no doubt. Everybody we've talked to that has been on the diet, there are people who get regular full physicals yearly. You know, they've had no trouble with any of their triglycerides or cholesterol. They've got good high numbers on the good cholesterol and low numbers on the bad cholesterol.
Right, and that's by eating fat in large quantities of fat.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I drink cream straight out of the carton.
Heavy cream. I go to Starbucks. You know, Starbucks is my office.
Uh-huh.
There's always hot coffee on. And they know me. I come in, I'm a regular, and I work on my computer for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. You
know, I usually get there at 5:30 in the morning. And they leave about an inch of room, and they just take the heavy cream out from under the refrigerator. They don't normally serve it to their customers. And they just put in about an inch of heavy cream, which is the whipping cream, which the brand they have is zero carbs.
Oh, yeah. That's the good stuff.
It's great. And Cindy, I feel so great. I played my mom a set of tennis 2 days ago. And I think it was 7 in the morning we started. And I did such a great job, she only beat me 6-4. My mom is good at tennis.
That sounds like it.
Yeah. But anyway, so you're in good health.
Yeah, and my husband, now I don't get as many regular checkups as he does. He was in the Air Force, and 5 years ago he had a regular checkup. He was overweight, and he had, they were telling him he needed to cut down on his fats and he needed to lower his cholesterol because his cholesterol was getting high.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said, forget that, and he went on the Atkins diet. And the next year, all those numbers were turned upside down. I mean, the good cholesterol was high.
Let me back that up with a friend of mine in Indiana, Dwayne Hostetler. Dwayne, I think he might have been the one to tell me about the Atkins diet. He went on it. He was on medicine to lower his cholesterol. So he obviously has a tendency toward heart problems. And he went on the Atkins diet. He lost a ton of weight, and he went in for a physical, and his doctor took him off the cholesterol medicine.
Cool.
And said, wow, you really have improved. He said, yeah, I've been eating nothing but lard, butter, fat, meat, cheese, and eggs. That's all I've been eating.
Sounds terrible.
I know. I go into a restaurant, and I say, well, just give me a vat of grease.
Well, you know that PETA has to hate this diet.
Right.
With the passion. We eat nothing but meat. We're going to buy a cow. We have 5 acres.
Well,
we're going to name it dinner.
Cindy, that's great. I don't eat anything that doesn't have parents.
Okay.
If it doesn't have parents, I don't eat it. You know, I got up yesterday morning, and we had leftover sausage that was grilled sausage with a little bit of peppers and onions. It was so fabulous.
And you don't feel bad
with
about
mustard
eating.
On it. I know, and you know what's weird? I have not been tempted to go off this diet since February, and I was addicted to sweets, ice cream, pie, brownies. I could eat a whole bag of Oreos in 2 days by myself.
Me too.
And I have not been tempted. I give the dessert to our kids, and I don't even lick the spoon.
Yeah.
And you know why I think? Because I was, like, addicted to carbohydrates, and now I'm not. Hey, Cindy, thanks.
You're welcome. Do you mind if I tell you something else real quick?
Go ahead.
Do you mind?
No, and then we'll go to Boulder, Colorado after your comment.
Okay. At NASA, where my husband works, they have personal trainers come in, and they come in, you know, talking about health and diet. And
Cindy, let's tell the audience, Huntsville, that's one of the headquarters for NASA,
mm-hmm.
Huntsville,
that's
Alabama.
Marshall Space Center.
So your husband works there.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Yeah, he's an engineer there, and, right. You know, he's real smart. But, yeah, they have safety meetings once a month. It's kind of annoying. But, well, I don't work there, so I don't have to put up with it. But they had a personal trainer come in from the gym, and he was talking about diet and exercise and said, you know, he mentioned the Atkins diet and said it was how horrible it was, and it's really bad because you can't have chocolate cake, and it doesn't address your fat body image.
Right.
This is a trainer at NASA, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and, like, you think he should be a rocket scientist.
Right, right. No, he's just a guy that hangs out in the gym, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
All right, Cindy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
God bless you. Now let's go to Boulder, Colorado. Kent, speak your mind.
Yes. Hi, Bob. I've been on the low-carb diet since June of 99.
You have? That's a long time.
Yeah, and I've lost 50 pounds.
Congratulations.
And I'm down to the ideal weight range and just doing great.
Well, Ken, I plan on losing 50 pounds, and I've now lost 34.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken me about 5 months so far.
Have you hit any plateaus? Or stalls?
Yeah, for maybe 2 weeks, I'd stall mm-hmm. out at a certain level.
Yeah.
But I didn't get discouraged because I feel so good and I'm so much thinner.
Exactly.
You know, when I said that's enough is enough is when I was going to have to buy fat clothes.
Right.
But I had already done that twice. Two times I grew out of my clothes.
That was the same thing for me.
And after that, I was not going to do it again the third time. And I had friends who had lost a lot of weight on the Atkins diet, and they said their heart was healthier than before they got on it.
Well, I had borderline high blood pressure.
Yeah.
I had high triglycerides and low HDL. That's
mm-hmm.
the good ones. That's a bad cardiac risk ratio. And so I heard Michael Eads on the radio.
Yeah.
And his office was in Boulder.
Yeah.
But he's closed that, and now someone else has it.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote Protein Power, and so that was my first book. And there's not a lot of difference between that and Atkins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of variations.
Yeah.
But, Ken, did you hear about this New York Times article?
Oh, yes. It's been a major topic in one of the low-carb message board rooms.
I guess it would be. The first paragraph, I printed it out, you know, small print on my printer here, and it's over 10 pages long. First paragraph says that the American medical establishment has spent 30 years ridiculing Robert Atkins with
right.
his low-carb, high-fat, and protein weight loss diet. And now the AMA... It turns out that their own dietary recommendations, eat less fat and more carbs, might be the cause of our raging epidemic of obesity in America.
It is the cause.
I think that's true.
Because you have no choice. If you cut back on protein or fat and fat, you have no choice but to eat carbohydrates because that's all there is left.
Right, and you're not sated. You're not content when you eat carbohydrates.
Right.
So the American diet has gone up 400 calories a day per person. And they're getting a lot of starches and basically sugars. We'll be back right after this. Hey, here we are. Live commercial break on the show. And this break is only for people on the internet. And so some of our friends, so it's a bit more intimate because this is not being broadcast on our radio stations right now. They're doing the news. And this is a good opportunity because we've got a lot of friends in Indianapolis, in Indiana, who would like to see Bob and Yurt Live back on the air. And beginning next week, we are starting It's a trial period of Bob and Yurt Live on local AM radio WNTS in Indianapolis. in the evening. And Indianapolis, the city of Indianapolis, is encircled by the Beltway, the Indianapolis Beltway. And that highway, I don't know how many miles out it is from the center of town, what the diameter is, but it encircles about 700,000 people. And most of the people in that, within that Beltway circle can easily tune in WNTS in the evening. And so we're going to be on there, but Christian radio and television, for the most part, they charge for airtime. Unlike the real world, in the Christian world, you pay to be on the air. And it's the opposite of the secular world. The secular world, if you're on the air, you get paid a salary, not in Christian radio. It works differently, and we can understand partly why, because advertisers will not advertise on Christian radio. You know, Sears and Walmart, Coca-Cola, Toyota. No, they won't. You see, it's too controversial. Now, Toyota will advertise in a homosexual magazine. Oh, yeah, newspaper, no problem. But never, ever, ever on a Christian program, Christian radio. So as a result of that, the billions of dollars for secular station advertising is unavailable for Christian. So how do you make it work? Well, for the most part, Christian programs pay to be on the air. So we here at Bob and Yurt Live, we do not have the resources just to pay to get the show on in Indianapolis, not on our own. We've started up a trial period, and if people help us by supporting us with donations specifically geared to keeping us on in Indianapolis, then hopefully it'll be a long-term venture. So if you can help, please call us, whether you could donate a month, $20, $50, $100 a month, call us 1-888-8-NUR. All right. Now, hey, Kent, could you, between you and I, do you think we could explain to the audience how the low-carb diet helps you to burn fat?
Yes, certainly.
Can you take a shot at it?
Yeah, I sure will. What happens with the body when you eat carbohydrates, that becomes glucose in your blood or blood.
Which is sugar.
Yeah, blood sugar.
Right. And some carbs that don't have fiber in them become sugar instantaneously.
Right. And so a food like potato is just like eating a lump of sugar.
Right. And the same thing with rice and anything made from white flour.
Exactly.
It's exactly sugar as soon as it hits your body.
Right. So the level of blood sugar in the body has to be controlled within a very narrow range. And so if the blood sugar goes high, the body pushes the blood sugar into your cells for energy.
In other words, it stores them in your muscles.
Well, there's some storage,
right?
But not very much.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's good for energy if you're doing something.
Yeah,
like
it gives you
a
quick
running.
Energy, like a runner.
Exactly.
A sprinter will eat some pasta right before the meal or drink some milk or eat bread. And get an instant jolt of energy.
Right.
Right.
But then you can't store very much.
Oh.
Glucagon, it's called, when it's stored. So you can't store very much of this. So the insulin pushes it into your other storage system, which is body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when you don't eat any food for a while, your blood sugar drops.
Mm-hmm.
And so then your body tells you got low blood sugar and you're hungry again.
Right.
So with carbs, you're always getting hungry.
Yeah, you get hungry, and that's why on a low-fat diet, Americans eat 400 calories more per day than back when we had a normal diet.
Right. And then your cells get resistant to taking all this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then your fat gets resistance, and so your body keeps pumping out insulin.
Right.
And then you become diabetic.
Now, and that, of course, has been epidemic, and now we find it in children. And it was called type 2 diabetes, which is the main kind, was called adult onset diabetes. But now we have millions of kids who grow up on low-fat diets.
Exactly.
And now let me take a shot at giving another way of describing it, but maybe you could help figure out if I'm saying it right or not. Your body sort of has two modes that it can work in. Burning for energy, it'll either burn carbs or it'll burn fat. It'll do one or the other.
That's right.
But it typically doesn't do both. And if you give your body carbs, it will burn carbs and not fat. If you are low carb in your intake, then your body is forced to burn fat.
That's right.
And when you burn fat, your blood vessels get cleaned out, you get a stronger heart, you have very little chance of developing hypoglycemia, you don't go into this hyperinsulinism, diabetes is very unlikely, and there are researchers out, you know, I was quoting Harvard earlier, but you've got so many major researchers that are saying that this is the normal mode for the body to be in. Burning fat for energy is normal because you eat less and you feel content for a long time.
That's right. It stays with you all day.
Yeah, and, you know, people that are sort of, they got hypoglycemia or they're headed to diabetes and they eat, and in the middle of the afternoon they get the shakes.
Exactly.
And they need a Snickers bar and a Coke.
Yeah, low blood sugar.
Right. And so then they eat that. But then a few hours later, their blood sugar is lower than before they ate the snack.
And they can't lose weight because they've always got this level of insulin in their blood.
It's right.
And so you cannot, your body will not burn fat, your body fat,
yeah,
if you have that insulin.
Right.
So,
all right.
So
Ken, hey, thank you for calling in and giving us your story. I've heard it from so many people. And I'm encouraged. I've lost 34 pounds. How long do you think before I'll hit the 50?
Oh.
I started in February.
Oh, maybe 6 months. But your body gets a little more resistant to losing weight.
Right, of course.
As you go down,
yeah.
It decides it doesn't really want to.
Right.
So, anyway.
Right.
Can I give a plug for my website?
Please do.
It's Bible Life Ministries.
Bible Life Ministries.
Yes, BibleLife.org.
All right, BibleLife.org.
And if you go to the home page,
yeah,
you go down near the bottom, you'll see a link to the Ultimate Nutrition page.
All right.
And it's got all kinds of information on low-carb links,
mm-hmm.
Just more links than you can think of.
Mm.
And there's nothing to sell on the site.
Okay.
You've probably heard of the site.
Well, that sounds great, Ken. And, you know, now we really have 30 years of evidence, 30 years of the whole country. And when George McGovern put us on this low-fat course, that liberal senator, you know, politicians don't make good scientists normally. There was some testimony given by the president of the National Academy of Sciences. He testified in Congress. And he said this, he said, what right has the federal government to propose that the American people conduct a vast nutritional experiment with themselves as subjects on the strength of so very little evidence? And now it turns out with all the obesity, all the diabetes, all the heart attacks, the kids with diabetes, no reduction in heart disease. And we've even reduced our smoking. It's really tragic what's happened.
This has gone to all the English-speaking countries. They're in
mm-hmm.
the same boat. England,
right.
Canada, and Australia.
Yeah, they call fat the greasy killer.
Yeah, they call it saturated fat.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the animal rights people behind it.
That's the animal rights people are behind it.
Right.
Also, the oil people are behind it. The
mm-hmm.
edible oil industry,
right?
Corn oil, canola oil, and all those.
Right, right.
they're behind They've it, plus their... all the manufactured foods.
Right, which is a huge industry. Hey, Ken, thank you so much.
Okay, Bob, thanks.
God bless you. Now I'm going to go right back to Boulder, Colorado. No, we lost Judy. Yeah, we lost Judy. Judy, okay, maybe we could get Judy back. At any rate, our phone number is 1-800-836-9278. Judy wanted to speak about George W. Bush and Christians. So that would have been very interesting. See if you could get Judy back. I wanted to know what her thoughts were on that subject. So this isn't a nutrition show. Bob and Yurt Live, we don't do nutrition, but we do expose the liberals for, you know, we've seen it for the 10 years I've been on the air that liberals typically have very bad science. And I did not know the history of this until I read this lengthy article in the New York Times. And expert after expert is beginning to say that that we need to look at the low-carb diet. And they're beginning to study it. That's pretty interesting. This here, now look at this. I'm just looking through this article here. Low-fat diets will increase the risk of heart disease in a third of the American population. Will increase. And that was common knowledge. By the late 60s, researchers had shown that eating a low-fat, high-carb diet would raise the triglyceride levels and lower the good cholesterol levels and accentuate conditions that lead to heart disease and diabetes. That was by the late 60s. We knew, you know, researchers had shown that. And this is a really interesting topic. I find it interesting. Okay. Now, I want to get on to the topics talked about earlier, just briefly. Gary Condit's wife can now sue the National Enquirer. This is interesting because Carolyn Condit, the Enquirer, said that the police have reported that she attacked Chandra Levy just before the intern disappeared. And now we know that she was murdered. Her skeleton was dug up in that park and near her home in Washington, D.C., ruled a homicide. And, hey, this seems appropriate to me that the despicable congressman's wife could sue the National Enquirer for playing footloose with such devastating and damning reporting that apparently was made up out of thin air. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I want to read you this letter from somebody who goes to a church in Denver where the pastor's kids go to public school. All right, we're back. Oh, no, we're back into the commercial break. That's where we're back to. Hey, some of the videos we have are so much fun to watch. They're just a trip. Somebody was visiting our studios, looked at our inventory in a room, the few rooms we have here, one of the rooms filled with inventory, audio tapes, literature, the plot, our videos. And this woman picked up one of the videos, said, "How about this video, Get Out of the Matrix?" And we just started laughing just by being reminded of that video. It is such a funny video, but it's also tragically sad. It's the video in which I debate a philosophy class and their professor for over an hour. It's our smash hit, Get Out of the Matrix. If you haven't seen that video, you're really going to want it. Most of our videos are $19.95. That one is $24.95. And some of the videos that we put more production into or had to go on location, we tend to charge a bit more for them. And so, in fact, in this spot right here, I'm going to only tell you about the $24.95 videos. We've got Bob Debates Predestination, a moderated debate by TV talk show host John Mangopoulos. We flew to Lansing, Michigan to do that. Bible Tour of Israel. You could join me, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, on our tour of the Bible lands. That was a lot of fun. A Bible Tour of Israel. And then God and the Death Penalty, the New Testament support for capital punishment. Mount Moriah, the historic and geographic evidence for the resurrection. Morality, why God forbids sexual immorality. Also includes my testimony. What else do we have here? Divorce and remarriage. That includes a number of Bible verses that most Christians have never heard of. Things that God says about divorce and remarriage. It's really a neat video on that topic. And then two videos that we don't produce, but we resell because they're so great. Sex Has a Price Tag by Pam Stenzel. Just dynamite for singles, teenagers, even adults. It's just a great video on sex and marriage. And also Mount St. Helens on creation. And when that volcano blew, 1980, Mount St. Helens. So call us and order one of these videos. Bob Enyart here, 1-800-8-ENYART. By the way, we have a policy. If somebody wants our videos, you get five videos for $100. Five videos, and we've got some fun videos. Okay, now, here's a letter to Pastor Bob. I pastor Denver Bible Church, by the way. In this letter, dear Pastor Bob, I visited Denver Bible Church recently with my mom. And I spoke with you briefly before the service. I've wanted to visit your church for a couple years now. And the reason that I finally did is because, and this is sad, is because I'm considering leaving my church. I love my church, my pastors, and fellow members. And though there's a lot of Bible study and preaching, I don't see many of them really living the Christian life or applying biblical principles in their personal lives and families. Of course, you know the scene, and this includes the pastors. Now, so I'm going to continue with this letter. It talks about the pastors sending their kids to public schools. And we have a pastor qualification quiz where it's 10 questions. Is your pastor qualified? And one of the questions is, if he has children, does he send his children to public schools? Or does he condemn the godless public education system because of the millions of children it's destroying? Or does he support it and defend it? Well, back to the letter. Though I could have guessed, I recently found out that both our pastors have their children enrolled in the local public school. I know what the Bible says about who should teach our children and what they should and should not be taught. My mom and I are both outspoken against Christians sending their children to public school. In fact, we're outspoken against anyone sending their children to public school. By the way, here at Bob Enyart Live, we do not want prayer in the schools. That's a scam. You might as well put prayer in a house of ill repute. We don't want the kids in the schools. We don't want anything in the schools. So no prayer in the public schools, no Ten Commandments in the public schools. Get your kids out of the godless public schools. So the letter writer continues, I am still recovering from attending that same school from 2nd through 11th grade in 1974 to 84. It must be a few schools like elementary and junior high and high all together, I guess. Anyhow, the way I found out that my pastor sent their kids to public school was when the head pastor's wife and another church member, both of whom work at the high school, paid my mom a visit and proceeded to rather forcefully defend and praise the local public school. Now, I guess a pastor's wife would do that because it's a godless education system. And I guess at the very heart of it, She praises a godless education system because she must think that a godless education system is potentially a good system. Now, how do you get to be a pastor and think that? How do you get to be a pastor and think that a godless education system can possibly be a good system worth defending? Haven't they noticed that the public schools are sending millions of kids to hell by the things they teach them and the disrespect they instill in them for authority, for God, even for their parents? Well, my mom was taken by surprise and was somewhat intimidated, but she made strong arguments, all of which were met with denial and phony, shocked looks. When she told me about this, like, I can imagine the mom saying, "Do you know how much sexual activity there is among students in a public high school?" I could picture the parents, the pastor's wife, saying like, "No, come on, that's not true." That's not true. When she told me about this, I decided to confront our head pastor about the scriptural mandates on education and to stress the evils that are present in the public schools. I wrote him a letter with all the respect warranted by his position and carefully explained the situation, referred him to many pertinent scripture passages, and I told him about my personal experience in that school. I mentioned some of the things that are going on in the public schools today, of which I assume he must not have been aware. And I expressed my concern for his daughters and the example he was setting for the rest of the families in our church. It was very compassionate and respectful, but it was also direct. That's a good combination. I like that. Weeks went by, and I didn't get any response at all. And both pastors seemed to be to intentionally avoid me. I finally cornered the head pastor and asked him if he had received my letter. He said that he had, and when I asked him what his thoughts were on the issue, he gave the usual liberal defense and false justification. He said it was okay because he and his wife were both involved in the school. Obviously, I guess his wife works there. She must be involved. She's an accomplice. He was telling me how he didn't think we should be extreme on the issue when, conveniently, he was interrupted and had to leave. You know, and the pastor said he's involved with the school. Like I noted earlier, I doubt he'll be around for his daughter's first teenage sexual experience or their first abortion. I doubt he'll be around then, because what are the odds that girls going to public school today, girls from a good Christian family going to public school, are going to be having sex before they get out of the school? What are the odds? It's just devastating how high the odds are, what the chances are. Just devastating. All right, now, let me continue here. This, since he ended the conversation, that inspired me to write another letter, still respectful, but this time more confrontational. I mentioned that I was disappointed that he would take such a moderate and lukewarm position, that morality is absolute, and that we must be extreme on all moral issues. Good point. Good point. I explained how they were indirectly promoting the wickedness that the public schools and teachers promote. And I told them that based on 1 Timothy 3, verse 5, that they are not qualified as leaders in the church. Ouch. Ooh, good one. You know, that's where Paul basically wrote that if a man doesn't know how to rule his own house, he's not qualified to lead a church. And if you take your children and you give them into the clutches of a godless education system to rear them, to raise them, then I'd say you don't know how to rule your own house. That's why it's on our list of the 10 pastors' qualification questionnaire. I gave them half a page of scripture references and challenged them that if they still disagreed, to study it for themselves and prove me wrong. God's word is clear, and I'm convinced that they must now either repent, sadly I doubt that will happen, or knowingly choose to live in disobedience. Could you imagine in the Old Testament the Jews sending their kids to the Philistine school? Philistine chariot comes by and the kids get on and go to the Philistine school and they get taught all this pagan garbage. What do you think God would do if the Jews allowed the unbelievers to teach their children? Do you think he would kill them immediately on the first day or wait to do it on the Sabbath? When do you think God would kill them for doing that? And it's true, God is not in the business of killing his people who openly rebel against him today. But even still, you don't want to displease God and sin just because God's not going to kill you. So, let's see, it's been almost 3 weeks. There's been no response. It seems they have chosen the latter. I am the least likely person to confront and challenge anyone, let alone my pastors, because I am a strong introvert. Hey, and that's, you know, introverts are cool. I married an introvert. Except that I am committed to obeying the Lord. My mother stands with me on this, and she will leave the church if I do. I don't want to leave my church and forsake the fellowship with the other members, nor does my mom. The church does a fairly good job of helping my mother when she has been in need, as she is now. I have thought about continuing to attend, as long as they don't dismiss me as a troublemaker, hoping to eventually effect change. However, I cannot in good conscience address them as pastor since they don't meet the biblical requirements. It would also be very difficult for me to listen to their preaching knowing they don't live accordingly. What should I do? Your brother in Christ. P.S. I really like Denver Bible Church and I'm planning to visit again soon. I met some neat people and I would like to visit often enough to make some friends there. Hey, that's tough for me to give advice on that because it's so self-serving. What do I say? Yeah, leave your church and come to Denver Bible Church and put your money in our collection plate instead of theirs. I mean, that's just too self-serving. So if I advise to leave your church, I would be compelled to say, but find a different church. Don't come to our church. Because I just don't want to be self-serving. It's painful. But yeah, hey, how many kids are destroyed by the godless education system in America? How many millions of kids are destroyed? And Christians have the gall to defend it and to praise it? They praise a godless education system that teaches kids that sex is fine outside of marriage, that they've evolved from animals, to disrespect authority. They mock parents. And on top of all that, they're academic failures. Young people in America are ignorant of our history, of geography, of science, even of grammar. What's the number one class at Denver University? You know what we call Denver University? DU? We call it Duh. Duh. The number one class there is remedial English. We're not talking about Latin or Greek. We're talking about English. This is their native tongue. They were born here, and they went to 13 years of public schools, and they don't know English. Remedial English. The government schools are a failure, and the Christians who defend them, they're failures also. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.